Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio, the show where the host is too lazy to even pronounce so-so accurately. This is the most amazingly average to almost slightly better than mediocre broadcast that will be sure to astound you with impressive interviews and talk. Blah, 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 blah. Are they gone? Good. You can never be too careful. Illuminati spies are everywhere. But thankfully, they have notoriously low attention spans, and so it was necessary to fake them out with that utterly boring intro. Sozo is, in fact, a secret code word for soteriological bliss and existential ecstasy that can only be found in relationship with and in childlike abandonment to our loving Heavenly Papa and our Master and Commander, the Good Shepherd, and our salvation, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. I am your host, Daniel Lovett. Let us embark upon a glorious adventure, exploring the depths and mysteries of Christ, one interview at a time. SozoTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio.
Sozo Talk Radio.
Okay.
Just in case we say anything really interesting, then I want.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
What I want to talk about is longing for God, and just I'm going to talk about some scriptures from the Psalms, in particular. Yeah. And then this idea of times of refreshment in the presence of the Lord. What prayer, the essence of prayer, like getting alone with God, what was Jesus excited about, you know, getting alone with his Papa?
Oh, you know? Let me just tell you something. Just because just recently, just kind of going through some things and just kind of battling through some stuff. Oh man, Daniel, God, when I'm able to talk about it, like to really talk about what God did, the testimony is going to be so powerful because he showed up every time. Like even after, like I was in the shower. This is just recent. I'll give you just the most recent. I'm in the shower and I'm still questioning. I'm like, Lord, like I don't know if this is you, if this is me, but I have to get confirmation. And I'm hearing him talk to me and I'm hearing the same stuff. It doesn't change, but there still is that my flesh crying out? Is that my thing? Like what? I have to get confirmation. Okay. So I get out of the shower, get myself dressed, take my daughter into the city to go see a show. We go see a Broadway show. As we're waiting for dinner, I get a message on Facebook Messenger from this guy who starts leaving me voice messages, Messenger, who starts prophesying over me. Mm-hmm. Because God started to say, you have to call her. And this is someone who I know for a fact hears from God. But everything that he said, Daniel, everything confirmed everything that God was saying to me, who I was, what I was supposed to do, how he sees me, I was even questioning because I was like, Lord, you know, I want to make sure that my intentions are pure. I want to make sure that this is right. And you know, to have... When God uses people to confirm what he feels, it's like to hear people say, you're pure, because it was an answer to my prayer. It's not because it wasn't random. Do you understand what I'm saying? And to hear words like, and it was crazy, because God would say, God used people to tell me that I was safe. When was the last time you heard somebody say that you're safe? I've heard it 6 times from different people at different times. But when I needed it, because I was questioning, like, did I do something wrong? Did I say something wrong? Am I out of alignment? Am I not hearing from God? like, you know, because, you know, David talks about, he says, search me, O Lord, search my heart, show me my iniquities, show me. That was my heart prayer. That was my heart prayer for the time that I was going through this, because I was like, Lord, search me. If there is something in me that needs to be dealt with, deal with it. Send people to me. Show me. Because I wanted my vessel to be able to house his presence in such a way that there was nothing that was going to taint what he puts inside me. So it was like, so when you talk, when Jesus would go away, like, this is what I feel. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, okay, and he knew what he was going to have to do, and all these accusations were coming against him, and he knew what he was going to have to do, but he also knew that he was going to have to remain silent, because he knew the greater purpose, but he knew who he was as a son. He knew how the Father felt about his son. And so it was in that refreshing, it was that pouring into him that Jesus was able to withstand when the accusations came, when the stuff came out, it didn't faze him because he knew who he was because of the intimacy with the Father, because the Father showed him who he was, reminded him of who he was. And I think that's so important that we go to the Father and we say, Lord, I hear what the words, what the world is saying about me, but what do you say about me? How do you see me? What is it that you see in me? Show me how you see me. And it's amazing because people just start coming out of texts, messages, people sending me, like calling me on the phone, just constantly telling me, no, this is who you are. This is who you are. Don't listen to this, because this is what God is showing me. I've never gotten, because I used to always joke that I don't get prophetic words. I just don't. But in this season, when I needed it, because I needed it, he sent, and I'm telling you, it would be like, Lord, you have to give me confirmation within an hour, within 2 hours sometimes. I mean, it was crazy. And I would share this with people. They're like, Lisa, like, God doesn't do that with people. And this was so, because it was so important, because this was like I think it was like a make it or break it kind of thing. Because if I didn't know if I could take another step unless I saw him go before me. And so I think that when you start to joke with the Lord and you say things like, I'll be your Moses, because that's what I said at one time, very, very early, even before I knew really who Moses was, I only saw the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. So I'm like, oh yeah, so let it be written, so let it be done. I can do that. But when I started to read the Bible and I started to read in Exodus and then I started to see who Moses was and what Moses had to do, I went, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have said that, because God will take you. If you say, I will go, you know, in Isaiah, it says, who will go? Here I am, Lord, send me. When you say that, he goes, okay. Because at that moment, you're in. You're all in. And so there comes this time where the Lord just like kind of pulls you away, and he starts to speak into you. He starts to speak into your life. And I think that's what happened, because, you know, if we're talking about the book of Psalms, you know, it was David. And so I really believe that some of those Psalms were written when he was a shepherd, when he was out in the, just sitting in the pasture with all the sheep, and he was taking care of them. And when he had to fight the lion and he had to fight the bear, I think it was in those places that he was able, that heart cry came out and God started to show him, Daniel, that you are a warrior. This is who you are. That you, yes, you are a sheep herder now, but I've created you to become a warrior, and I'm going to teach you how to fight, how to battle, and how to win. So that when he thought that he was just going up against a bear or a lion, and he thought that was it, but when he went up against Goliath, as soon as he stood before him, that same identity pulled up inside of him and said, oh, I'm a warrior. You're going down, my friend. And I think that's the intimacy that we get when we spend time with the Father. I think that's, we start to understand who we are, how he sees us, how he loves, how he delights in us, how he is who he says he is. You know, and there's so many scriptures that are just popping into my head where the Holy Spirit is just like saying, you know, that I can't hide from you. That I can't hide myself from you because you can find me. And even in my weakness, even when I want to go and hide and crawl under a bed, that you're still there with me. You're still talking to me. You're still trying to encourage me to get up, take another step, move forward, because I have great plans for you. I have things that I want you to fulfill. I have things that I want to show you and teach you. And I think that there's so much to be said for the fire. I would love for you to, if you ever want to do a show about going into the fire, there is something that I learned about the fire, because we talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we talk about how they were in the fire. And when King Nebuchadnezzar looked inside and he saw that it wasn't just three, but there were four, that's where they were able to see Jesus. And what I've come to understand is that until you are in the fire, you don't see God moving on your behalf. Because I thought that God had my back before, but now I have a certainty that I will come out not even smelling like smoke. That I have a certainty, I have an assurance, because I have been through a fire. I've been through a refining process where God was taking out all the dreck inside of me. And he was telling me who I am, who I'm called to be, that I'm his daughter, that there is a purpose for all this, and that he was going to walk with me each step. So as he took a step, I took a step. And as he took a step, I took a step.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I just want to take a moment to welcome our listeners. Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio. I am on the line with Lisa Perna. She has a show, a radio show, podcast called Touched by Prayer, which goes live, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, which is what I'm at, from her Facebook page, yeah. Which you can find that at facebook.com/TBP, which stands for Touched by Prayer. Mm-hmm. What else?
I think it's a show, talk show. I think it's talk show.
Yeah, talk show. You're right.
But they can also get my link if they go to my website, touchedbyprayer.com, because I usually put the link up.
That's right. So, yeah, it's a quicker way to get there, I suppose. And you can kind of see what she's all about there at her website a lot quicker. And so you've been doing this show for how long now?
Goodness gracious, I just finished my 200th show, and okay. God has been so good, because honestly, Daniel, I, when this first started, and this was something that the Lord told my husband that I should do, and my husband, who does video and has done video since I've known him, as he's produced television, and he's the video guy. So he said, you're going to do an internet talk show. I said, what? He said, yeah, you're going to do an internet talk show. And I said, about what? And he said, about what you do. Now, what he was referring to is what I do is that I would pray for people, and I would have stories, because people were getting healed. People were getting set free. I had gold dust. I had angel feathers. I mean, all kinds of crazy things. I would prophesy to somebody, and a week later they would call me and say that it already happened. I mean, just these crazy, crazy stories. So he said, so we're going to do a talk show. You'll do an internet radio show about what you do, and you'll interview people. And I said, okay. And I said, what are we going to call it? And he said, well, I don't know. So I started to pray about it. And the Lord told me that my brother, I have an older brother, and he said, your older brother has, your brother Rick has the name. So I called my brother Rick and I said, hey, Rick, I said, this is what we're planning on doing. And God told me that you have the name. Now, my brother is not, he's a believer to a point, like he believes in God, but he's not like me. And he had two names and the second name was Touched by Prayer. And so we took Touched by Prayer. We looked it up. Nobody owned it. I didn't have to buy it from somebody. I went to GoDaddy for $9.95. I got .com, .org, .tv, .net. I have it all. So we started Touched by Prayer. And my very first show, I had a guest who was supposed to come, but we had a big snowstorm here in New Jersey. So nobody came. Nobody could come. And so my husband said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to honor God. So I just did it. And I just talked for an hour. And it was the first time I've ever done it. And I just told my story. And I don't even think I saved it because it was just, but some, you know, there were people who listened and they really encouraged me. And then I just started to try to get guests and I didn't know anybody. So where do you go? You go to your church. And I had started to talk to people who were in ministry. And I said, you're doing ministry for people who are divorce care. Let's have you on the show. But then God, he did something so amazing. There was this endorsement from Jonathan Welton of this book called The Longest Bridge Across Water by this author called Jeremy Manger Sheen. And I was like, And it was a really nice endorsement. And I was like, And I heard the Lord say, friend request him. And I heard the Lord say it again, friend request him. And so I did. And he accepted, which I was shocked because I thought, oh my goodness, this is like a big time, you know, person in ministry and they have this book and Jonathan Walton, but he took my, you know, took my friend request. And then I actually wound up reading the book and I asked Jeremy if he would come on and do my show. And then Jeremy and I became friends and he started to introduce me. He introduced me to the second person that I had on that was, I did not know, was a gentleman by the name of Praying Medic. His real name is Dave Hayes, but Praying Medic was introduced to me and we became friends. He did my show and then he opened the door and then God just started opening up the doors of Facebook. And I started to see, and God would tell me, interview this person, interview that person. He would highlight people and he would start bringing people onto my feed that I didn't even know. I wasn't even friends with half of them, but God started to do that. And so 200 shows later, and you know, and I think there's more coming. I'm not quite sure how Touched by Prayer is going. I see that there's some shifting, but goodness gracious, he gets all the glory because I mean, even I had William Paul Young, the author of The Shack. That book changed my life. That book started this whole thing. And it was funny because this year I also got to interview Darren Wilson. And Darren Wilson, who did all the movies, Furious Love and Finger of God and Father of Lights and Holy Ghost and Holy Ghost Reborn, his story, when I started to see that we could actually put our hands on people and people were getting healed and there was something that about prophecy, because I didn't know anything. I was very green, I'll say, about things of the supernatural. But this year I was able to interview Darren Wilson and have him on Touched by Prayer, and I was so honored. But God was able to take these two men who started this journey in my ministry, and he blessed me to have them both on my show, which was, that is only God.
Yes. And you mentioned William Paul Young. That book too, The Shack, really made an impact on my life. God used it to repair my relationship with my dad, because that's a big theme in the book, is God healing broken relationships, especially between fathers and sons. And it was right after I read that. I've read this part about he's reconciling with his dad, and it really caused a lot of angst in me, so much so that I threw the book across the room. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, that night I had a dream where God met me in my dream and he showed me my dad and showed us that we were one, that we were connected with this oneness, and that we all are. Mm-hmm. And then he said, do you want to see how much I love your dad? And he started to pour his love into my heart, and it just kept growing. And my awareness of his love just kept growing and growing and growing. And I thought, if I experience one more ounce of this, I'm going to explode into a million pieces. And I was very much afraid. Shook myself awake out of this. And from then on, healed relationship with my dad. I've treated with love and respect ever since. And of course, forgiveness. And because I had a lot of bitterness, but it was gone in an instant with an experience of God's love. So that was just profound.
And I think that's what people don't sometimes understand, is that God's love is so much bigger than our hurts and our wounds, that he really, I think that's why Jesus, when Jesus was here on earth, he was able to love those who felt loveless, who felt so outcast and so rejected. And Jesus was able to love them in such a way that his love overshadowed the rejection. It overshadowed the abandonment and the different things that God has shown me. It's like his love is endless. And when we start to truly understand, because I think that the Lord gave me Touched by Prayer is I think he really wanted to show me his love. See, I think that as much as the show is to help listeners to understand, but it's also for me to see, I always think of God like a diamond. And so I just get to see a different facet of him, because every person's relationship with God is so unique and so individual. And they're only seeing just one facet of like this beautiful gemstone, but that's all they're getting to see. But when you start to see other people's facets, you start to get a bigger picture of what he really looks like. And I think that through this, it's actually taught me how God loves in different places, and how he can restore, how his desire is for restoration constantly. He wants to restore. He wants to restore, like you were saying, the fathers and the sons, but also the mothers and the daughters, because that's where he's getting my heart ready for. He's really put this call about daughters, you know, on me, which is not something that I ever, goodness gracious, I never even thought I was going to be in ministry, because people would say, oh, your ministry. I'm like, no, it's just a talk show. they're like, no, it's a ministry, because you're ministering to people through these conversations, through testimonies. And that's when the Lord started to talk to me, and he said, Lisa, he says, Jesus is a storyteller. He says, and that's what you are. You're a storyteller. And so you're just going to share the stories so that you can let people understand in a very simplistic way of what I'm about.
Yes. Okay. So a couple things came up for me when you were talking. First of all, I wanted to highlight just some of the conference work they've done. Tell us about that. I know I saw something on your website about, I don't know, you could tell.
Daddy's Girl.
Yeah. Daddy's Girl, is it?
Yeah, Daddy's Girl.
Tell us about that.
Well, the Lord said to me, it was, I think it was the second year I was doing Touched by Prayer. And the Lord started to talk to me, and I actually had people on my show that day. We were just talking, and I just heard the Lord say, he said, Lisa, he goes, my daughters don't know how to be daughters, so you will teach them. And I thought, okay, I didn't quite understand it, but I saw Daddy's Girl. I just saw Daddy's Girl. And I was like, okay. So the first conference was Walking as a Daughter of the King. And the Lord really, this is what's so truly amazing about the Father, is he just really kind of comes in and shows me exactly what he wants to do. And so it's like he gives me the blueprints, and I just go, oh, okay, so we'll do this. So, and I prayed about who should do worship, who should be my speakers. He brought every single person. I didn't have to worry about it, where I should have it. Everything was done. And so the first one was called Walking as a Daughter of the King. So at that particular conference, what we did is we talked about the identity. So we started out Friday just getting rid of false identities, and we did deliverance. And people got set free, because my feeling is you have to put people into the mikvah and get them cleaned up before they can go stand and get filled up. Because if you have junk, you can't necessarily receive. So that's what the Lord was showing me. It's like, we're going to go into the mikvah. We're going to go and dunk ourselves under the water. We're going to clean ourselves up. Then the next day, we're going to learn about who we are. And so I actually had a guest of yours, which is Margie Mortman, who I absolutely love. And she flew and she came in and she talked about she talked about like just the identity of your spiritual identity as a daughter. And so I had Kelly McCann, who talked about, you know, getting rid of the false identities. And then I actually spoke about like the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is as an identity of the daughter. After everything was, all the speakers were done, we actually crowned every, I got crowns, the Lord showed me crowns, and we put crowns on every single woman. We prophesied over every single woman that was there to release them into their destiny. My second conference is Daddy's Girl, Unlocking Your Inheritance. And that was about, okay, now you know you're a daughter, but guess what? As a daughter, you have an inheritance, because, and you didn't have to die for an inheritance. Somebody else has died for you, which is Jesus. Jesus died so that we have an inheritance. And so we started to talk about what it means to have an inheritance. And we started to, there was, because it was called Unlocking, so everything was about unlocking. And so one was about unlocking your destiny. Then I had, and that was with Kelly McCann. The second thing, of course, I had Margie Mormon, was unlocking your spiritual eyes to be able to see in the spirit. I had Melody Posh, who came in, and it was unlocking your dreams. And then I spoke, and it was unlocking the womb, the W-O-M-B, because, and the Lord really started to show me about that, that the womb, that there are so many people who have locked up their womb, or that they've had abortions, spiritual abortions, the dreams and the visions that God places in people literally takes place in the womb. That's why when I think it's Paul says that the Holy Spirit, that it happens in our belly, in our lower abdomen, where we can feel the Holy Spirit, that it springs up. It's everything is down, because everything that God does in the natural, in the supernatural, there is a similarity. So we did that. And we also did Unlocking Creativity. And we had, Tamara Engwall, who came in, and she talked about prophetic painting. And so there were women who did prophetic painting for the very first time in their life, some who haven't painted since they were kids. But what was so beautiful, the Lord started to talk to me, and he said, Lisa, he goes, how many three-year-olds don't like to finger paint? And I couldn't think of any. And he goes, there are none. He says, everybody loves to finger paint. He goes, but at some point, somebody told that person they weren't good. And so they stopped creating. And I heard, and I felt the grieve. I felt the Father grieving at the dreams and the creativity that was lost and locked up inside of people. So he wanted that to be released. And now I'm getting ready to plan my next one, which I believe is going to be here in New Jersey again. And it is going to be called Daddy's Girl, and it's going to be ruling and reigning in the kingdom. So, and this conference is, let's put it this way, bring your fork and your knife, because this is not pablum. This is going to be meat. This is going to be some serious meat, because we have to, in this next season, we have to be ready, we have to be equipped, and we have to be very confident in who we are, because it's going to be, it's like those who are going to be drinking, you know, bottles are going to be sitting in the pews, and those who are ready to eat meat are going to be out on the field.
Yeah. And that field can look like any number of things. It could look like doing a podcast like you're doing. It can look like writing a blog or books or having a music ministry like myself. I
play in nursing homes every day, and I love it. That's like, I get to go bless those folks, and I keep getting encouraged by all these elderly. They say, don't give up. We need you. We need you. Yeah. And so I'm bringing love and the message of Jesus, really. And Jesus loves you more than you think he does is my main message.
Absolutely.
And so God has a destiny for each and every person that's watching this right now, that you have a destiny, a plan that you're the masterpiece in the hands of the master, and he can guide you and lead you. And it's, when I'm walking with Holy Spirit, I start getting downloads of all kinds of things, like more than I have time for even, you know, of this idea. I had an idea for a kid's book, and the Lord has put that into production. I wrote a kid's book that I'm like, okay, Lord, I need an illustrator now. And then all of a sudden, one of my friends contacts me out of the blue and says, hey, like my page. And I went on it, and it's like, she illustrates for kids' books. Good friends. And it's like, whoa, who knew? Mm-hmm. And so now she's going to be starting on the project of illustrating this book. And we're going to be probably doing future projects, and we're looking for like publishing for that. So any publishers out there that, or agents or whatever, I don't know. I'm just getting into that whole field. And I'm writing a book right now about encounters with Jesus and his love.
Oh, that's so good.
And the main title of it, I've decided. I was going back and forth. Do I risk being a little bit scandalous? And I'm getting the go ahead of yes. Some people might not understand the title of this, and it might raise some flags for people, but Christian Mystic, The Christian Mystic, ooh, Volume 1.
That's a hot topic right now. That is a hot topic.
Yes. And I feel like the Lord's positioned me in such a way as to be maybe somebody who can field that in a biblically sound way. I mean, the Bible has been of utmost importance to me for the last 20 something years, you know, I went to Bible college, Moody Bible College. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love the Word of God. I just interviewed Brian Simmons, who's translating actually the Passion Translation. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to read some scriptures even in during this broadcast of scriptures about longing for God, because I've been intrigued by this idea. I'm reading this book, a devotional book by my sister-in-law wrote, Kristen D. Wayne. She wrote this book called The Art of Rest, or The Art of Resting, and she talked in there about a phrase that a, you know, famous Christian speaker once said that just captured her attention and spurred her imagination. And he said, you know, how I long to just get away with God, to be alone with him. Mm-hmm. And he even did that. He went and got alone in a broom closet at this busy conference that he was speaking at, just to be alone with God. You know, mm-hmm. And we were talking about Jesus getting alone with God. It holds a promise because, you know, it's intriguing because there's something to that. There's times of refreshment to be had in the presence of the Lord. As it says in Acts 3:19, it says this, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Mm. And so I was just inspired by that and many other scriptures from the Psalms, which we'll touch on here. But we're going to include one of your stories about your encounter with Jesus. That's what I wanted to ask you next is just...
Okay, so the fun part of God for me is that he shows me things. I didn't even know what a seer was. And just to give just a little bit, because as you were talking about a book, I'm starting to kind of write a book about some of my adventures. I actually started my ministry at a cosmetic counter. And God started to, I learned about prophecy there. I learned about how to pray. It was just this crazy thing. And so there was this one time that this woman came to my counter. We started to talk, and she said that Well, first, she was talking about how her daughter was going to Africa, and she was a very well-dressed woman, and her daughter was going to Africa. I'm like, all right, so she's either going on safari or a missions trip. But I felt missions trip, and I still didn't understand that I was getting word of knowledge because I didn't know what word of knowledge was. But I said, is your daughter going on a missions trip? And she says, yes, she is. And I said, oh. And so then we start talking about being a Christian, and she started asking me about my church, and I told her about my church, and I started to share some stuff about what I was seeing during worship. And she says, well, you know that you're a seer. And I'm like, oh, okay. I had no idea what a seer was, you know? And she also said I was an intercessor. And I said, oh, okay. But I didn't ask her, what is that? Nobody, you know, so I came home and I called a friend who I thought would be able to answer those questions. And she really couldn't. So what happened is I went to a Bible bookstore and I went to go get a book on intercessors because I didn't understand it. And I said, well, if I'm going to do this, I should know what it is. So there were only like 4 books on intercession. There was a book that just kept popping out at me and it kept saying The Happy Intercessor, The Happy Intercessor by Benny Johnson. And I said, well, if I'm going to be an intercessor, I want to be a happy one. So that's the book I got. And she talked about being a seer. Mm-hmm. And my time with God is because I was praying when I got filled with the Holy Spirit in 2009 and I started to speak in tongues. When you say to come away with God, that's what I did for an entire year. I read the Bible, I prayed in tongues, and I watched Daystar television. That's it. And I watched like John Paul Jackson and Perry Stone and whoever I could get, you know. And I love Joel Osteen because he would inspire me and he would make me, he kept talking about a God who loved me. So it just, everything just was kind of clicking. So in those times I started to, I would pray in the spirit and I would start to have these encounters with God. And there was one time where I felt oil just being poured all over me. There was one time I was sitting on my chair and I was praying in the spirit. I'm praying in the spirit. And all of a sudden I felt as if something was blowing in my face. And I was like, so taken back because I could literally feel the wind being blown on my face. And I was like, what was that? Cause I didn't understand what it was. And then a couple days later, I think Joseph Prince on Daystar was talking about how Jesus blew on the disciples so that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And I was like, oh, so, but wait, I think I got the Holy Spirit. So what was that? You know, but I knew that it was coming from the Lord. I started to have, I saw myself, and some of these encounters that I had, Daniel, I would have them once, but if there was a question of whether it was God, I would then have it twice to confirm it was. So there was this time my girlfriend brought me a stuffed mushroom, and it was stuffed with the seafood. And so I had it for lunch and it was delicious and I enjoyed it. And then I went and I sat down to go and pray. And as I started to pray, I felt myself getting really, really big. I felt myself expanding. I felt myself getting super, super big. And I was like, okay. But I would open my eyes and I'm like, no, I'm still the same. I'm not moving. All right. Then I felt myself getting like hard. I felt myself just getting hard, almost like rigor mortis. That's what it felt like. And I'm like, oh no, the mushroom was bad. And then I actually, so here I am, I'm getting bigger, 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 huge. Then I'm getting hard, 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 hard. And I actually see my head inside of this big rock. And I heard the Lord say, upon this rock, I shall build my church. And I was like, now, and again, I'm like, my eyes are closed. I'm praying in the spirit. And then every now and then I'm opening up my eyes. And I'm like, okay, my hands are not swollen. Cause I was thinking I'm going to have to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. But then it happened. I think it was like a couple weeks later, same thing happened, same words happened, same experience, but I didn't have the mushroom. So I knew it was God. There have been times I've been driving in the car where I was telling the Lord, I'm like, Lord, shut my mouth if I'm not saying anything that's not of you, Lord. Keep my mouth closed. Don't let me say anything that's not of you. And all of a sudden, I felt as if somebody closed my mouth like this, and I couldn't speak. And so here I am thinking, oh no, I either had a stroke as I'm driving in my car. I either had a stroke or I'm just not going to be able to speak. And I was on my way to work. So I'm thinking, okay. But I heard the Lord say, he says, I closed Zacharias's tongue. What makes me think that I can't shut yours? He says, you speak what I tell you to speak. Just like that. And then my head is like going, I'm like, okay, Zachariah, wait a second. Oh, that was Elizabeth's husband. Okay, he was, and so all these things, you know, I'm getting all excited because I'm like, okay, wait, that's scripture. Okay. So, you know, he does these like fun things to me, and I've had experiences, but I think the most profound experience was when I got a chance to dance with Jesus. Mm-hmm. That was just unbelievable because, mm-hmm. I was at this church and I was just worshiping. And so I'm just worshiping and I'm singing and I'm just really loving everything that's going on and just feeling the presence of God. And then in my spirit, I can see in the spirit, I knew Jesus was standing right next to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, Jesus is standing next to me, you know, and I've seen Jesus, but from here down, never saw his face. Mm-hmm. So he's standing next to me. I'm like, Jesus is standing next to me. And I'm kind of freaking out a little bit. And all of a sudden he bends over and he kisses my cheek. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm so in love with Jesus that I imagine. And I just put in my head that Jesus would just kiss me on the cheek. From that, I went into a full blown experience where I was dancing with Jesus. And as I started to dance, I could literally see the opening of his robe, and I think this is what people find kind of interesting or creepy, depending on how, but I could literally see the hairs on his chest. I could see them, and I was like, oh my goodness. And as I start, and my head was down, and we started to dance, and he stopped dancing with me, and he took his finger, and because my head was down, and he pulled my head up with his finger to look him in the face. Mm-hmm. And I was able to see Jesus. And I was, and my head is saying, look at his eyes, just look at his eyes, you know, because that everybody talks about his eyes. And so I'm looking at his eyes and I'm like, they're blue. No, they're green. No, they're blue. No, they're green. And then no, they're, and I went, oh, they're love. And I realized that the color of Jesus's eyes are love. And I think that's why people are so there. That's one of the things that they get so impressed with. Mm-hmm. But what he showed me is that his eyes are the color of love. And so we danced. And as we were dancing, Jesus started to speak to me. And he said, Lisa, he said, when two people are on the dance floor, if there's a leader and there's a follower, the dance is beautiful and it's magical, and they could twist and turn all around the dance floor and it's effortless. And it's, and he says, and it never ends. He says, but if you have two people on the dance floor and each person wants to be the leader, it becomes awkward and it becomes jerky. He says, and eventually the dance has to stop. He says, but if you allow me, he goes, I will dance you all over the world. He says, let me be the lead and just dance with me. And I thought, wow, that's so beautiful. And because I love Dancing with the Stars, I got it. Like, I totally understood. But if you dance with a good dance partner, can make you look amazing, even if you can't dance. But they have to be the lead.
Yes. And I was, even as you were saying that, I'm like, amen. I want that too. I've had a dream about the dancing in heaven. Mm-hmm. I witnessed it and it was breathtaking. It was mm-hmm. amazing. It was like the only closest thing I've ever seen in any film was kids movie, Rio mm-hmm. 2, with the birds dancing on this choreographed amazingness in the sky. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's beautiful. And I'm almost speechless after that. I'm so excited about your story and about the fact that you shared that with me and with the world.
Yeah, apparently. But you know, but that's the whole thing is that I once spoke at a homeless shelter, and I was telling the people, because there's a song, and it's such a beautiful song, and it really speaks to me, and it's Good Father by Chris Tomlin. And so, but the beautiful thing about Good Father, that's the song that was playing by the worship team when I was dancing with Jesus, because Good Father is a waltz. It's a waltz. If you count it out, it's a waltz. Yeah. So when I was at this homeless shelter, I was talking to the people and I was telling them my story, and I played Good Father. And I said, and if you can't see yourself dancing with Jesus, I said, but you can envision throwing a ball, because that's one of the things that a father and a son do. You know, and so many men have not had that chance. I said, so just while the song is playing, close your eyes and just imagine yourself throwing a ball to Jesus and Jesus catching it and then him throwing it back to you, and just the laughing and the camaraderie and just the unity that he's not going to throw it too fast. He's going to throw it so you can catch it. He's not trying to make you slip up. But he's doing this exchange to build your trust. And it was really interesting because the men who were there, really, some of them were crying. And I wasn't expecting them to cry. But because there have been so many hurts and so many wounds from parents, and they only have hurts and wounds because their parents hurt and wounded them. And so it's been this vicious cycle. And so that's been one of the things that, like, God's been really dealing with me, is about being, to be a good parent, to be a good mother, to be a good father, is really to see the example of how God is. Because God is neither male nor female. God is kind of spirit. And so he, like in the shack, he took on the physical attributes of a woman. Because in this particular story, this man was so hurt and beaten by his father that he couldn't have a male figure to relate to. And so God came as a woman. Mm-hmm. But there are times that God, because this was like one of those things, you know, as I started to have these encounters with Jesus, I was having more and more encounters with Jesus. And I said to the father, because there was also this other time where I was dancing and I stopped and he let me touch his face, and I actually could feel Jesus's beard. I mean, I felt it, because just like in the natural, we have five senses, and in the spiritual, we also have five senses. We have the ability to see, we have the ability to hear, we have the ability to speak, we have the ability to touch, and we have the ability to smell. So, you know, just like we have five senses in the natural, we have five senses in the supernatural. And so when I started to feel him, I could physically feel it on my fingertips, even though he was not there. This was a spiritual thing, but yet it was tangible. And so the Lord started to talk to me, because I always thought that when we are touching in the spirit, it's when we were laying hands on somebody. And he said, no, you can actually feel things in the spirit that you cannot see. And so the Lord is just really, you know, as you were talking about being a Christian mystic, that's part of it, is that we need to tap into these things, because they're the New Age movement and some of these other religions they know how to do it. They know how to operate in it. That's why people who come out of witchcraft or come out of Satanism or even come out of any kind of like mysticism, they're able to quickly adapt into the supernatural parts of being a Christian, which is something that we got as an inheritance because of what Jesus did on the cross, that we are able to do that because of the Holy Spirit, because we have the Holy Spirit within us. So we are also just like Jesus. When God said that when he created man, he says, let us make them in our image. He said, let us make them in body, in soul, and in spirit. So we are body, soul, and spirit. And so we have all three components of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but we're not operating in one of them. And sometimes we're not operating in two of them. Because there are a lot of people who are believers, but they're not operating as Jesus because they're afraid or because they don't feel, they don't want to be the hands and the feet. And that's what we're supposed to do. And so what the Lord's been kind of showing me is that these things, like a supernatural smell, I have smelt Jesus. I have smelt the, all of a sudden I get this whiff of roses and I'm like, ah, Jesus is here. Or sometimes it's very, it's almost like a priestly. And so but he's coming as the priest. When he comes as the roses, he's coming as the groom for the bride. So, and it's different ways, but I've also smelt angels. I've smelt fresh bread. One day I was sitting on my back porch and I started to smell bread. And nobody was baking because I'm the one who bakes in my house. And there was nobody baking. And I'm like, Lord, what is that? He goes, manna, fresh manna. You know, so as we just kind of push down ourselves and we say, okay, Lord, you know, there's that scripture says, I want more of you, you know, less of me, more of you. I think what happens is that when we push down what we think that God can do, and we start to let God do what he does, and we're open to it, I think that's when we're going to start to see more angels. We're going to start to see more things in the spirit. We're going to start to experience Jesus in different ways, in more tangible ways. We'll be able to go to heaven. You know, Kat Kerr, she goes to heaven, you know, and you know, I have prayed for people, Daniel. They have fallen down in the spirit and I can't leave them because they're with the Father. They're in heaven. Their spirit is in heaven. And so I have to stay with my hand over them to protect the vessel because right now it's not occupied so that nothing else comes in. It's the craziest thing because nobody's ever said to me, hey, this can happen, but God, he's like, no, this can happen. And so I prayed over this one woman and she fell and she woke up when her spirit arrived, she was in heaven and her deceased son was waiting for her because, you know, there's that scripture and it says that God will comfort those who mourns, right? Well, why do we think that comforting is just like, you're going to be okay? No. Comfort is what we need to be comforted. And sometimes it's a dream. And sometimes it's seeing ladybugs or butterflies or a bird or hearing a song. Or sometimes it's actually being able to go and visit and to see and experience and know that everything is okay and that there is a heaven. Because that's what I think we're coming into, is that we're going to start to hear more and more people who are going and experiencing the Father in very real ways.
Yes. And even last night I had a dream that was very similar to another dream where I suspected I was in heaven. And in this one, I'm with my wife and I'm driving this car that is very powerful. You just tap on the gas and it's like tires spinning and it's almost out of control. Mm-hmm. And anyway, long and the short of it, I won't go through the whole thing, but I ended up meeting this other couple in heaven, if I was truly in heaven. Mm-hmm. And they played a song for me that he had written. And we were like good friends with this couple, like mm-hmm. somehow, and played the song for me. And then I told him, I said, wow, that's a really nice song. I love that song. And he says, it's yours, Daniel. I'm giving it to you.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Like, I was like, no way. Okay.
That's and then, so good.
And then so today I was just even praying about it. I'm like, Lord, can you send me my friend to help coach me through writing that one? Mm-hmm. So yeah. that's a work in progress right now. I felt like a little bit of a melody came to me already and I recorded it. And so, yeah, that's amazing that that we can interact with heaven. I mean, even in when you interviewed me all the time ago, what was it, like 6 months ago or more, I talked about a little girl coming to visit me from heaven to bring comfort to her mama, who was suffering the pain of a miscarriage, and just telling her, hey, I'm okay. I'm happy here. And I miss your singing, you know, like, yeah, that's real comfort right there. So yes. And it's, there's so much more supernatural that the Lord would, our loving Heavenly Papa would have his children walking in and enjoying, even flying. I heard a story about saints. The great grandmother of a guy at church last Sunday, I'm talking to him, and his great grandma used to fly by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, how much have we lost and been dumbed down because of materialistic thinking, you know, like just naturalism and whatever.
I think it's fear. And this is going to sound a little crazy, but the Lord started to talk to me about the Salem witch trials. Mm-hmm. And he started to say that they were operating under the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's how they knew stuff. Not all of them were witches. They were God-fearing people who were operating under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's why they were speaking in tongues. That's why they knew things. That's why they could discern things. That's why things were kind of happening. And they
I've heard too that they would, if anyone started operating in the gifts of the Spirit, they would just put them in an insane asylum. Like, it was dangerous to be under the operation of the Holy Spirit for them at the time. It was a really risky thing. I mean, nowadays, though, I feel like we're in an era where it's like the freedom is there. Like, pull out the stops. Let's go. A lot of religious people are going to resist this, of course, and due to fear, due to like, oh, where's, you know, I don't know. Like, there's like the civil war happening. But at the same time, I wonder, okay, the true Jesus versus false imposter Jesus is like my own testimony. And this is part of my own story, was that I was led astray by an imposter Jesus for, you know, a lot of my growing up years. Even there was like these two competing Jesuses in my mind. And I was always leaning towards the fearful taskmaster one, the one that would beat you up, because I was afraid to get it, you know, out of his good graces or something, you know, like it was always trying to please, you know, it was a very religious, you know, thing. And I think that that's a lot of people in the Christian church are bound by, that there are demons that pose as Jesus for people. That's what happened to me. That's what Jesus saved me from. So I know what I'm talking about when I say this. And I know that that's offensive to a lot of people. And I even asked Jesus the other day, Lord, will you please fire all the pastors who don't know you? Because people deserve an encounter with the real Jesus.
That's coming. Yeah. That's coming. The Lord showed me that churches are going to be closing. The Lord said that anybody who's not speaking what he's saying, they're about to be closed down. This next big move that we're going to start to see. Well, first of all, it's a purification of the pulpit. It's to purify and to rectify some of the false teachings and some of the things that are keeping, you know, God's children from him. Because what the Lord said to me, I was driving to work and the Lord said to me, he said, Lisa, he goes, my children are in bondage. And I was like, okay. And he says, when they were in bondage in Egypt, it was because of false gods. He says, but now they're in bondage by people who think they are gods. And they say, if I let go of my people, who will serve me? And it just sent this shiver down my spine, because it was truth. And I knew it wasn't me, because that's not my heart. I don't like to judge or condemn. However, what God is going to do is he is raising up. He says, I'm going to raise up a new church who will do an act as I say. And he said, and he's going to close churches down. I think that what we start to see is that if there is an impurity, it's like anything else. If there is impurity in something, what happens? Bacteria gets in. When bacteria gets in, it taints the entire thing and it becomes, and people can get sick from it. And that's exactly what's happened. So if you look at some of the religions that have had tainted stuff poured in, you can see that right now there are, like, there's been this big controversy in the Catholic religion with all these priests who have been doing pedophilia, who have been, you know, abusing and assaulting children. Something got in that tainted what God wanted to do, the origination. You know, God did not create religion. Man created religion. So what God is trying to do, I think, in this next season is he's trying to pull people out of religion, not out of relationship. He wants to give people a place where we can all gather together to encourage each other, to be taught, to be informed. But he really is looking for apostolic leaders who are actually mothers and fathers. He's also looking for the real priests, the real pastors, to rise up. Because what happens is, if you are a teacher, if you're a really good teacher, if you're put in a church, that's fabulous. You're going to teach well, but you're not going to pastor. You're not a shepherd. You're not going to go after the one. Because your focus and your job is to just teach. And so what happens is that, you know, people are coming to the church to be nurtured and shepherd, and they don't have a shepherd. So that they're getting lost, they're getting hurt. And so it's just because you can't pay a teacher as a pastor. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just not going to be able to say, well, yes, you're a teacher, so we're going to pay you and we're going to get a pastor to help pastor. No, they're going to find somebody to do everything. But that's not the way that God set it up. That's why it's a fivefold ministry. That's why there should be five offices in every single church, because we need the mothers and the fathers, the apostles. We need the prophets who can hear the voice of God, who can hear what God is saying, who know his heart. You know, everything that the prophets said is because they understood, they had a relationship with the Father. So they knew exactly. It's like with Abraham. You know, Abraham knew God, and he knew him so well that he knew that he could go to him and he could kind of try to bargain to not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord started to show me, because I was asking about that one time, because he showed me that that Abraham was the first intercessor. I was like, really? And he said, think about it. He says he prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was able, through his prayer, to change my thing. He said, but he stopped at 10. He goes, I would have, if he would have said one, I wouldn't have done it. But he stopped because there was a heart change. See, God's heart is always about restoration and just getting, dealing with the stuff, but he also is holy. And I think we've also kind of stepped away from the fact that God is holy. I mean, believe me, I love grace. I live by grace. But in grace, there also is accountability, and there also is a responsibility. Responsibility for us to admit where we've made a mistake, you know? And there's an accountability that we know what is right and what is wrong. And so when we just think, well, God's going to cover it, that's not being accountable. That's not being humble. That's not what God is giving us grace for. He's giving us grace because we're human and we make mistakes. But if we don't make mistakes, because he's not going to give us a freedom to make mistakes just so that we can just, it doesn't matter. He wants to bring back holiness. We have to understand God is holy. And some of the things that this, that we are tolerating in the churches, because we think that it's okay, that God's going to understand. No, God understands weakness. God understands hurts. God understands wounds. But when you are starting to put man's approval above what God says, that's a problem.
Yeah, I fully agree. We need to honor the word of God as much as Jesus does. And living, like it models for us love so fully, you know, in the scriptures, like whatever's pure and lovely, you know, and of good report, you know, this is what we should be focused on. And First Corinthians 13 about the love chapter, love is patient, love is kind. This is what should describe us as a people of God, as his children.
One of the things that he's really been talking to me is about enduring. Love endures all things. How many people are just saying, you know what? I just can't. I'm just done. I just can't. And it's like, no, that's not love. Love endures. That means you go through the hard stuff. That means that's why the vows that we take as husband and wife, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, because guess what that is? That is enduring. And that's what the Lord, I'm going to start to preach, but that's what the Lord's been really talking to me about, that we've become so complacent that we're like, well, God's just going to forgive me. He just wants me to be happy. No, he wants you to love.
Yeah.
He wants you to love. Of course he wants you to be happy, but sometimes happiness is not, it's not love. Sometimes happiness is just keeping your flesh happy. That's not love. Love is sometimes doing the hard things. Sometimes love is a hard walk. Jesus started to show me what it was, what it was like for him to endure the cross. That was not an easy walk, but that was a love walk. That was a walk in love. And every person that he saw, each person, because this is what I saw. I saw Jesus walking with the cross, and I saw the people spitting at him, and I saw people throwing stones at him, and I saw all this hatred. And I just saw each step he took, he was like, but I love them. But I love them.
Yeah.
And it was a mind thing. Because you know what? Because he was also flesh. He was also man. He was human. He was human. So Jesus, and he was like, no, I'm walking in love. And he showed me. And I was wrecked by it. I was wrecked. I was like, oh, how dare I? Like when people come against you, when people start to say things about you, it's like, no. I'm walking in love. Bob Jones, when he died prematurely, he went to heaven. First thing that was said to him, did you learn to love? And he was like, hamana, 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 back. He came back to learn how to love.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to do. We are not only here to love, but we are here to show love and to teach love. That's what I believe that we're called to do in this season, because right now people need love, and God has been, he's been even singing Beatles songs to me constantly. Love is all you need. That's it. There's nothing that can't be done. All you need is love. I mean, people will sit there and they'll judge the Beatles and they'll say this about it. But what if that song was actually given to the Beatles in a dream from the Father, from his heart, to a generation who was very confused, but they needed to understand that love was all they needed.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So true. I mean, I as you're talking about the cross, I was remembering a story about a lady named Rebecca, who she was given a vision of the cross. She was taken to the event, and she's witnessing Jesus and all, walking with the cross, and all these people just mocking him and even throwing stones or whatever they were doing, and just how nasty and mean they were, just even interacting among themselves. And she said to Jesus, you did this for them? And it was her disdain for that and not understanding, it actually caused this rift between her and Jesus that needed to be forgiven and healed, because she thought that. It's like, yeah, I did this for them, because that's you. Mm-hmm. That when we were at our worst, Christ died for us.
That's right.
And I would also love to speak about the marriages that even if you're suffering, I'm a product of a broken home. My parents divorced. They didn't decide to stick it out and do the hard thing. Of love, And I would just speak to that and say, you know what? First of all, it's only one lifetime that you have to stick it out, mm-hmm. but that people can change. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus has changed me incredibly, vastly mm-hmm. since mm-hmm. I was a teenager. You know?
Oh, same. Yeah. And it's, listen, what I said about marriage is it's, I'm not trying. There are people who have tried, and sometimes divorce happens. So it's not because they failed, but there is also free will. And there's also something called the devil who comes, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. One of the things that the enemy really wants to do is destroy marriages, because the most powerful prayer that happens is between a husband and a wife, because God sees them as one. So when a husband and a wife together pray, it's a very powerful thing. That's, you have to, what I started to understand, and this is just recent, but what I just started to understand is that the enemy comes after the important things. He doesn't waste time on the trivial stuff. So it's like where you're getting your biggest attack is because that is where you are the most powerful. That is where you can make the biggest difference. That is where God really has something special. That's why those are the places. So sometimes it's people, it's in their marriages, and it's because there is something so powerful between the two of them that the enemy wants to destroy. Sometimes it's somebody's work. They keep going after it because there is something powerful that God wants to do in that workplace. Sometimes it's after our finances, because if we don't have the money that we need to do, then we can't do some of the bigger things that God has called us to do. And so it keeps us in this place. You know, I've been really been talking about, like, we are called to be the head and not the tail. We are supposed to be the lenders and not the borrowers, but yet we have this poverty mentality right now. We're also in this place where the enemy has just been kicking us and kicking us and kicking us and kicking us as far as our prosperity. But I do believe that that's about to change. I believe that there is a part of the body of Christ that is rising up and said, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I want back everything that's been stolen. I want every single promise that God has given me. I'm going to be just like Isaiah. I'm going to be just like Elisha. I'm going to be just like all the prophets of old. And I'm going to start to decree and declare, and I'm going to start taking back my rightful place, because Jesus died for it. And it is part of my inheritance. And I want the squanderers to get out of my life. You know, these demons who think that they can sit and set up camp. But it's really about, you know, it says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And it's just because they don't know who they are. They don't know what they own, and they don't know how to use it. And that's why I feel like, going back to what I was talking about, my conferences, when the Lord started to give me these conferences, I didn't understand I was having Romans 8 conferences. Because in Romans 8, it first talks about that the Holy Spirit calls us to call Father, Abba. The second part of it is that it says that we have an inheritance through Christ. And the third part is that all of creation is groaning for the sons and daughters of God to arise and to take back. That's what we're waiting for. So what you're saying about your book and you know, where God is placing people, it's about, like, come on, guys, let's start getting some stuff done. Let's take back our territory. Let's start to be the voice again. Let's start to be a church that's not passive but active. Let's conquer things with love. Let's conquer things with faith. Let's start to show who our daddy is. That's my next t-shirt is I'm going to create for the conference. I'm doing a t-shirt. It's going to say, who's your daddy? And on the back, it's going to have every single name of God. Mm-hmm. Because that is who he is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is El Shaddai. He is Elohim. I mean, he is the beginning. He is the end. He is the author and the finisher. He's the protector. He's the refuge. He's the provider. He's the healer. There is a place, there is a name for every single day of your life for God. 365 days in a calendar for a year. There are 365 names of God. Mm-hmm. So you can have something that God can do every single day. because his name, he stands by his name.
Yes.
And he protects his name. And he for his name.
Amen. Amen to that. And I want to encourage people just to dive into intimacy with the Father. And I want to read that one of those scriptures I was mentioning earlier. And this is from the Passion Translation, where I interviewed Brian Simmons, who did the Passion Translation. He got a lot of the Psalms, and the Psalms are very poetic. This is from Psalm 42. It starts out, it says, "I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence." Hey, you're back.
I am back. Okay.
We lost the connection. I'm reading some scripture from Psalm 42.
That's okay.
It says, it says this, Psalm 42, "I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure, flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you." Isn't that amazing? "My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. Day and night, my tears keep falling and my heart keeps crying for your help." Mm-hmm. You know? So it's just scriptures like these that about this intimate relationship, you know, that we can have with our Papa, with Jesus. I love how you talk about how you met him face to face. I once had an encounter with Jesus face to face. It moved me to tears. It's amazing encountering him like that.
I have one more encounter. So because I have Dance with Jesus, and that seems to be where we meet, is we seem to meet on the dance floor. So during this very difficult thing that I had to do, and I prayed, and I was just weeping and weeping, and then Jesus came, and I was on the dance floor with him. And as we started to dance, I could see off to my right, the door swing open. And I looked, and it was the Father. And every time I've seen the Father, he's in his throne. I've gone to the throne room many times. I mean, there was there was one time that he, like my hand, like his hand. Now imagine I was like this, and the Lord would show me that he would do this and I would disappear. And then he would open up his hand and I would reappear. And then he would close, and he would say, "With just the palm of my hand, I can conceal you. Don't ever worry." Mm-hmm. But so I turned to my right and I see the Father, and I shouted and I let go of Jesus and I went, "Daddy," and I went running into him, and he was like normal size, and I wrapped myself around him, and I was just bawling. I was just bawling and bawling and crying, and Jesus came over, and they were just loving on me, because at that point I was so broken, and I needed to hug my Father. Mm-hmm. And so he came off of his throne to encounter me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm saying I'm sold. Like, yeah. I am sold out. I'm 100%, like, there is nothing that I won't do. He tells me to do things, I just do it. He tells me to say it, I just say it. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter how crazy it is. It doesn't matter how weird it sounds. He's told me to pray for people in parking lots and in hospitals and stores, and I don't care. I don't care, because if I can be the vessel that has somebody to encounter his love in such a profound way, who am I to be afraid? That's selfish, because I know what that's like. But I get the privilege of getting to see somebody encounter Daddy for the very first time sometimes, or to start telling somebody something when they say to you that you don't know what I've done. And I say, "Yes, I do." And she was crying. She goes, "No, you don't." And I whisper in her ear, "You tried to kill yourself." And she breaks. Mm-hmm. And she breaks. And it's not to condemn her, but to love her. And I said, "God sees everything, and he loves you. He loves you. That's why you're still here, is because he loves you. And just weeping and crying and knowing that there's no way that I could have known that, but that the Father told me. And it's like, it's those moments, Daniel, that I'm like, I'm sold out. I'm sold out. You can say I drank the Kool-Aid. You can say whatever you want to do, but I have seen God move powerfully, and I have seen his faithfulness, and he is faithful, and everything that that he has done in the Bible, he still does. We just don't see it. We don't see his faithfulness. We don't see his power. We don't see the Red Sea parting. But let me tell you something. When everything is coming against you and all of a sudden everything splits open so you can walk through, when you're in that fire and you come out and you don't even smell like smoke, when he sends people who come to prophesy into your life, that he sends the Samuels and he sends the Elishas and he sends the Elishas who come and say, I know you don't think you have food, but no, I'm bringing you double. You're going to have so much more. When he sends you those people and he anoints you and he just confirms who you are, there, you don't have anything to fear. You just really don't.
Yeah. That we're accepted in the beloved. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I pray for all our listeners, that they would experience our loving Heavenly Papa, Jesus, encounters with him. It's possible. Pray for it. Seek it. Ask and you shall receive, right? Ask and keep on asking, you shall receive. Seek and keep on seeking, you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, the door will be open. And this includes the door to heaven, okay? Absolutely. Because Jesus says you'll come in and go out and find good pasture. Mm. And both of us have been there to heaven. We've experienced something of that and experienced the beauty and friendships that can be found not only with Jesus, but with other believers. We have best friends in heaven.
Yeah. And everybody knows everybody in heaven.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. It's that sometimes, you know, sometimes I think that because of the fall, that sometimes we don't see people the way that they truly are. I think that we, you know, we can look through them through tainted glasses. And so I think that as we ask the Lord to remove the scales from our eyes so that we can see people for how God sees them, not to look with our own eyes, but to look with his, you know, one of the things that God really talked to me about were homeless people. And he said, you know what, Lisa, sometimes homeless people just want to be touched because they haven't been touched. So that's one of the things that the Lord really kind of talked to me. And he said that homelessness is the new leprosy. Mm. That he said that, you know, nobody wants to touch them because they're afraid they're going to catch it, you know? And there are just so many different things that are on the Father's heart. And I think that we're going to start to see him, and if we allow him to use us, because he wants, look, it says that the workers are few. It says the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So he's looking for he's looking for workers to work the field, some to plant, some to water, and some to reap. Some of them, you know, some of the things that I have done, I might not get to see the full impact that my little seed might have caused. But if God just says, well, today you're just going to drop a seed, and tomorrow I'd like you to water, and then the next day I'd like you to take out some of the weeds, then maybe I'm going to let you harvest. So every day we get to do a little bit in the field. We just have to ask him, what do you want me to do today, Papa? What do you want me to do, Daddy? What is it that you have? If that becomes your greatest heart cry and you start to wake up every day, Lord, who can I encounter to show you? I think that's a powerful and a game-changing kind of prayer.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, we're going to wrap things up. I would encourage all our listeners to just go over to touchedbyprayer.com and follow the links there. Connect with her Facebook page. my little boy is like, let me in.
I know. Well, my dogs are barking, so we're kind of even.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you. This was such an honor. Thank you so much. And I just think that what you do is awesome. And I love your heart. And I love just like you and your family and the cute little songs and everything that you do. I just think it's just adorable. I really do. And I think that, Daniel, I think your book is going to be a game changer. I really do.
Yeah,
I think it's going to affect people who are so afraid of religion, but they want to be Christians, but they're so afraid. I think that it's going to kind of open some doors up.
Yeah, my target audience is not to convert religious people, but to reach out to the whole stream of New Age that Jesus loves.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's it.
Yep, I just bless that, and I just speak incredible influence in those areas that you're gonna even be able. I don't know why, but I keep seeing coffee shops. So I don't know if you have coffee shops around you, but I think that you're. I keep seeing you at a coffee shop, like singing and doing like some regular songs, but then throwing in a couple of Christian songs and talking about the love of God in such a way that, you know, this song was written because of this. So like doing some storytelling with it. But I don't know if you do have a coffee shop near you, but I just saw you in a coffee shop singing.
Yeah. We just played at, there's this place called Cup of Joy.
It's
kind of a coffee shop. We played there recently.
Okay.
And our last album is called Reflect Love, entirely based out of just my experiences and growing in my awareness of God, who is love. Mm-hmm. God is love, in whom we live and move and have our being, you know, mm-hmm. the greater reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking with me. We're going to sign off. And
yes. God bless you guys.
Yeah. God bless you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.